Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Hard Hits. I'm your host, Derek Felix, and this is the Hard Hits podcast, sports podcast that is, here in Staten Island, New York City. How is everybody here on a beautiful Tuesday evening, actually, here in New York City? Hope everybody's doing very well out there. Hope you're having a good time, whatever you're doing, as we get ready for spring break pretty soon. At least if you're a teacher, so we do have some spring break coming up. So I got a sub assignment tomorrow, which is good because I didn't have anything the past 2 days. But we're ready for another Hard Hits. And it is a interesting evening that we have here as officially the New York Rangers have been eliminated from postseason play. It happened with the Rangers losing to the Capitals last night on Monday in a 4-2 game, a game that showed a lot of positives with Elias Andersson, his first ever game NHL debut, scores his first goal for Ranger in history to score as a teenager. And Filippito, his third game, first game back since October, registering a primary assist on Matt Zuccarello's goal in the 4-2 loss. First time two teenagers for the Rangers have both tallied a point since 1974, when it was Dave Maloney and Ron Grafner, both went on to long-storied careers for the New York Rangers. But combined with the New Jersey Devils, rival Devils, pulling out a come-from-behind win at home against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, pulling it out 4-3. With Stefan Nason as the game winner, Paul Mario with the power play tying goal. New York Rangers have been officially eliminated from the NHL playoffs for the first time since 2010. So it's been a long time since they've been out of the playoffs. And, look, I welcome it. I mean, we knew they were not going to make the playoffs. We've known that for a while. And even for a ridiculously optimistic fan, but, well, they still have a chance. They're still mathematically alive. Like, they were going to run the table and win 6 games in a row, and the Devils were going to lose all their games, and the Panthers were going to choke also. No, they weren't going to make the playoffs, so, and they were pretty much done about 3 weeks ago. So, or they've been done for a month. They've been done for a month. So, let's just put it to bed. Kudos to the Devils as they continue to chase down that wild card. They really have to keep winning games because the Panthers don't lose anymore. They don't lose. So the pressure has really been on them. And so far they've been able to do a really good job. So I want to give them some kudos there. They have done a good job. And they are 3 points ahead of the Panthers for that final spot. Flyers, we'll try to get you some updated standings so we can tell you a little more about what's going on with that postseason spot. And, the Blue Jackets were trailing their game 3-0. They were trailing their game 3-0. And it doesn't even matter because the Edmonton Oilers are not that good to begin with. And guess what? It's now 6-3 Columbus. So even with Connor McDavid's just unbelievable play, his just torrid pace, the Blue Jackets with a 6-3 lead. And right, if they can win that game, assuming they win, they would stay, would they stay in third, or would they actually move ahead of the Preds? Actually, they'd still be at third, because the Preds, I think, have 92 points. So what we're going to do, we're going to give you some updated standings. Okay, we'll do some updated standings with the NHL, and then we'll get to some of the other stuff, including Greg Bird and his latest injury, bye-bye Birdie, for at least 2 months, and Odell Beckham, and I'll give you my hard-hitting take there. So I decided to start with the hockey because it's pretty relevant right now. Baseball season, we've got all season to talk about baseball. Football, the Odell Beckham saga is not gonna end, okay? I'm not going to go anywhere. So here are the updated standings as we currently speak. The Penguins at 92 points in second place in the Metro, 5 points behind the Caps, who will look like they will win the division. 6 games remaining for Washington, 5 for the Penguins. And the Penguins lost tonight to the Red Wings. So, yeah, they have been struggling a little. They've been up and down. Columbus, if they can win with 2 more points, that would give them 91. We have them 91 points with 5 games left. They're playing their 77th game tonight. And it will put them up to 37 row. They would break the tie with the the Flyers also have 89 points. Now, this is very interesting. The Flyers are listed as the wild card. Both teams have the same amount of regulation overtime wins. They both have the same amount of points, but I think by virtue of the Blue Jackets having more, like, overall wins, because I don't know what the next tiebreaker is. It might be head-to-head, whatever it is. The Blue Jackets are still mathematically, are still considered ahead of the Flyers. So let's just give you a quick update on some of the scores here. The Flyers right now are tied late in regulation with the Dallas Stars, who are on life support. In Dallas, they're 2-2 right now. So the Flyers are trying to keep pace. They're trying to get the 2 points. They're trying to get to overtime, at least guarantee themselves a point. Because right now, every point matters in this game. So the goals for the Flyers are Konechny with his 23rd. And boy, what a season he's had since he's been moved up to that top line. And Ivan Provorov, the outstanding defenseman that will soon be the best defenseman probably in the Metro Division. So that's where once more we'll keep you updated. We do have a guest as we continue to update the hockey stuff. He is the one and only JPG, John G. Doria, who decided to chime in. Good evening, John.
What's going on, D-Flex?
We're doing a little bit of hockey, and then we're going to talk about Brett Burke and whether or not he will come back. And we're going to talk about Odell Beckham, and maybe we'll do some other stuff. This is a short podcast, because I do have something here tomorrow. But how are you?
Oh, you're working. You're teaching tomorrow?
I am, yes.
Nice. Have you been teaching a lot lately?
Not really. Not really.
What
happened? Some days are busier than others, you know. And we're almost at the spring break. Spring break's on Friday. So all good Friday. So, or as you like to call it, bad Friday.
Terrible Friday.
Terrible Friday. By the way, I will be at the Garden for the final Ranger Hope game of the season that night. The Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award will be given out in honor of Stephen McDonald, who passed away last year. That was an emotional time. A guy that had a former police officer that was once shot on the line of duty, and he was, wow. Yeah, he basically couldn't do too much. He was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He was such an inspiration to so many fans, so many people in the hockey community, in New York City, everywhere, because of his positive attitude. And last year's ceremony was very emotional with his son presenting the award after his dad had passed. And I remember after his dad passed, there were some tape messages from Rangers. And that award's been going on, I think, since 1987 or 88, 87, I believe. So
wow.
It's one of the most honorable things It usually goes to the ranger that goes above and beyond the Call of Duty, which is appropriate. There aren't a lot of great candidates this year because so many rangers have been traded, and it's been a down year, and they're eliminated from the playoffs for the first time since 2010. JPG, in 2010, they went to Game 82. You know, the Flyers, they went to a freaking shootout and lost in a shootout. That's how they got eliminated. So this is really the first time that under the Henrik Lundqvist era, he'll have meaningless hockey. It's been meaningless for a while, but now they're officially eliminated. I do think it's ironic that the Devils got to eliminate them because the Devils haven't been in the playoffs since 2012, and they're trying to lock down a spot right now. So a big kudos to them as they're trying to hold off the Panthers. So it's going to be a battle to the finish there. So you've got an interesting race. In regards to the award, in the past, Matt Zuccarello's won the award. He's been one of the hardest working Rangers. So he doesn't really deserve that award this year. There are a few candidates. My guess is that the fans, because it's become a popularity contest, are going to vote for Lundqvist. Even though Lundqvist has not been that good this year, he had a good 6-week run where they got back in the playoffs, and he's been miserable since. Now, a lot of people just want to make excuses all and say, well, it's just the team in front of him. And yes, the team in front of him is not that good. But, you know, he was part of that. I don't believe in giving it to a goalie. Lundqvist is the team MVP every year, JPG, because of what he's done for the franchise. I believe in giving it to a skater. So I went and voted for Kevin Hayes, a guy that's played very well this year. Doesn't have a bad plus minus for a guy that's faced head-to-head competition, the best head-to-head competition. Well, it's been a struggle lately for him. Has a career high in goals of 22, I believe, and has played very well, very good. Another good candidate would be Jesper Fast, who is up to, I think, 14 goals, just had a 70 career high point streak snap, and has played above and beyond, and Mark Stahl being the other candidate. But my guess is they'll probably give it to Lundqvist. That's the way the fans vote. I voted for the guy, the skater I think deserves it. So that's where I stand on it. Now I know you're a big fan of Henrik Lundqvist. Why don't you give me your thoughts on Henrik Lundqvist?
I think he's just the best.
I knew you did, man. I mean, I knew you felt that way. I mean, what makes him the best?
I would say all the Stanley Cups that he's won would be number one on my list.
Spoken like a true Benedict.
Why does that make me Benedict?
I read something, right? I just read something about, you know, from the very well-renowned writer, NHL.com writer, Dan Rosen, right? And Dan Rosen said, you know, the Rangers are officially eliminated from postseason contention, and that's fine. And so, one of those stupid, cocky Devil fans made a dumb comment, you know, in reply. What they say? I actually responded to it. And normally, I don't.
You have an account at a New Jersey Devils forum. Come on.
No, this is Twitter, and I don't post on there anymore. Because I won't give those jerk-offs the satisfaction. Those jerks, egotistical jerks, the satisfaction. I have much better followers on Twitter that root for the Devils that are normal. And I have a great blogger that does a great job. And I'm sure I'll have a nice write-up on their win tonight and pass on. So I like those people, okay? Those are the people I respect. There are people I respect. So basically, you know, they got eliminated. It happens. It happens. You know, they were going to get eliminated. It's been a while. So this idiot says, poetic justice for Devils fans. Ranger fans deserve to suffer through a long and fruitless rebuild while living. The fact that Lundqvist never could win a cup with the Rangers. Okay. He's never won a cup and probably never will. Okay. He came close in 2012, 2014. He got them as far as they could go, and they lost the Cup Series to the Kings. So my response was a simple one. Poetic in what sense? That they never had Hall of Fame stars surrounding them? The Hall of Fame stars being, and not only did they have Martin Brodeur, they had Scott Steven and Scott Niemeyer, who are Hall of Famers, and Patrick Kelly also might be a Hall of Famer. So Lundqvist never really had those kind of stars.
You're very sensitive about this, I feel.
Because when you read comments like that, it's just so misinformed. I mean, they had a great team. I mean, that's why they won those three cups. If you take away any part of those teams, it's tough to argue for the Devils winning championships. But you have to have multiple, and they had Hall of Famers. They had Hall of Famers, and if you look at the Rangers teams, they were the Hall of very good. Okay, very good, good.
I mean, I'm just
have...
saying, some might say the way that you're responding right now comes off as a little bit bitter.
I didn't. I gave two sentences. It was a two-sentence response. Well, nothing over the top. I made my point, and that's it. I made my point, and that's it. So nothing controversial.
I'm just saying what some people might say.
Well, if they want to respond, they can respond. And I know what I know. I mean, I've been following hockey a very long time. You know, I'm fine with the fact that they're finally eliminated because now we don't have to listen to all these stupid homers be like, well, they still have a chance. There's still a chance that they can make the playoffs. When they would have had to, like, run the table in their last six games, which means they have to play the Caps again tonight. So... tomorrow night after getting embarrassed by them in the first period before they scored the final two goals, they would have had to run the table and like the Devils and Caps would have to lose almost all their games. So look, they basically were eliminated over a month ago. You know, when they decided to do the right thing and sell, they were basically done. They played terrible hockey, and I'm glad that they're not going to be in the playoffs because it's better for the franchise moving forward. And speaking of which, and just to update you on that other score that I know Rob is keeping track of, Columbus is winning 6-3 because the Edmonton Oilers are intentionally tanking. They want to somehow get another first overall pick because this was a game they went 3-0 in. But they are intentionally tanking. They're trying to have the NHL hook them up again. So I just want to let Rob know that if he's aggravating it, that this is happening. But Rob Davis is here to celebrate his Devils victory. Another win by Keith Kincaid. Another clutch performance by the Devils. Stephan Nason with the winner with, I think, about a minute 20 left. And Kyle Palmieri of 2. And the Devils win 4-3 tonight, and they continue their march to the wild card, hopefully. And here he is. I would say celebratory. It's not the right word right now, Rob. You know, the pressure is still on. But Rob has to be happy with
there's a lot being said right now. I'm glad Rob's here to actually be able to address some of it.
I'm really glad that he decided to join the show again and retire. It's great.
First off, I want to say the Rangers were not eliminated a month ago. They have played very hard in the last month since trading a lot of their players, and they still had a fighting chance up until tonight, and I'm sorry, you know, it happened. I'm sure, as you said, you were looking forward to the Rangers marching towards the playoffs and, you know, not tanking or any of that. But
well,
of course.
We did
tank. Why would you want your team to
go? I don't even know what to say, man. Can I open up a tank right now and just put my head underneath it?
No.
I love how many backhanded compliments you were able to slide into that little rant that you did.
Of course.
Was it really a rant? Oh.
I love in between introducing me, though, right? He skips over the fact that the Flyers lost tonight, but mentioned that rat teams won. Yeah, the Flyers lost 3-2 in overtime.
They lost.
Yeah.
It did go to overtime when they lost, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for updating us. That means that the Flyers are at 90 points, which means the New Jersey Devils are getting closer to the Flyers. And could the Philadelphia Flyer fans be feeling the pressure as their goalies continue to give up goal after goal after goal, as they have for the past 31 years? since Rod Hextall became
the Flyers are a hard-fighting team, and I think they'll end up making the playoffs. But
I think the Flyer fans, you know, are feeling the tension. They're feeling the tension of the cheesesteaks. They're ordering extras right now from Gino's. They're thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles and the fact that they were wise enough to keep their backup quarterback who won the Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, my God.
They're very thankful right now.
Wow, here he goes on this.
just skip the programs. Get right to the Eagles, right?
Oh, I have Nick Foles. I have a Nick Foles rookie card. I want you to know.
Oh, my God.
And when Nick Foles subs in for Carson Wentz and gets back the starter's job, I'm sure all those Eagle fans will be very excited for that repeat.
Yeah, Derek,
because they're
Derek's
going
not,
for two in a row.
Derek's not butthurt about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. No, sir, not at all.
No, not even a little bit.
Oh, I have to remind you that Rob Davis was considering going to Philadelphia to celebrate on the streets and be part of fans turning over cars.
Listen. I'm not quite sure what the Philadelphia Eagles have to do with the New Jersey Devils playoff race, but
he's in a very bad place tonight, and this is how he's choosing to cope with it.
But look, I mean, all of a sudden the city of Philadelphia and brotherly love, and they're such great fans. They're so filled with love as they treat Santa Claus every year the way he deserves to be treated, with a lump of coal.
I know today is Rangers Elimination Day, but if you need to talk to anybody about it and vent, we're always here for you in that capacity.
That's
right.
You
know, Robert.
Take a deep
breath
and let it all out.
Breathe in slowly, breathe out. Breathe in,
breathe out.
What
is this, Cobra Kai? I'm getting taught Mr. Miyagi again. I mean, Mr. Miyagi's been dead for a while, but Cobra Kai's returning.
No.
And my brother is very excited for that. I'm very appreciative for the therapy session that I am getting, because I'm going to need some Rangers rehab. So Rangers rehab is back in session for the first time and since 2010, although I don't consider 2010 a rehab, because we went to game 82 and we lost in a shootout. And Olli Jokinen deserves to be shot and put underneath Actually, let me clarify. He needs to be
you're
shot
saying
in
it's
the
okay
buttocks.
For someone to be murdered because you didn't
no,
make the playoffs.
He deserves to be shot in the buttocks. In the buttocks. And then fall to the ice. And then they could take him. And then they could ice capate him off to the hospital.
He's salty.
Oh my
Rob.
God.
You picked the right night to call in. He is salty.
He really is. This is,
you know what?
They say the DC is the saltiest place on earth. I don't know about that right now.
Look, it's salty. If you come to Satan's Isle, as I like to call it, not Staten Island because it is Satan's Isle, you will find the saltiest water and the saltiest people on earth. That's guaranteed. My name's not Derek Brandon Felix.
The level of agitation that you have tonight is just phenomenal.
It's extra. But this has been going on since about like yesterday. So, in fairness, he kind of knew it was coming. So he was warming up the saltiness. You know?
Oh, I've been warmed up, baby. I've been warmed up for a while. I have been ready for this. I've been planning this escape. Speaking of which, City of Philadelphia, it might be the city of champions now, with the Flyers trying to make the playoffs, led by Claude Giroux, their courageous captain, and players like Shane Gostisbehere and Ivan Provorov, the new Russian Tsar. But we still don't know who their goaltender is. But we also know about the Philadelphia Phillies, and JPG has an eye on them. He's got they've become the apple of his eye, with body by Jake Arrieta now as the ace for the Phillies, and a very improving team. So things are looking up in the city of brotherly love.
Salty. Oh, it's kosher salt, though, John. It's kosher salt.
Wow. Wow.
Don't get excited all at once. Oh, I wanted to also let you know, JPG, because you were part of a historic broadcast on March 25th, one which I actually got to broadcast live, and I actually broadcast it live play-by-play of an exciting Kansas win over Puke, as Wausau likes to call them.
Oh, yeah. So, Rob, I call into his show that he's bugging me to call into, and he doesn't put me through so that he can do play-by-play on the game.
I was giving color analysis also. I am a one-man wrecking ball. I could do both. I'm like Vince Scully.
Way less
salty. I got flow. I blow it up like Geronimo because I got flow and style, man. I'm like the voodoo child, Jimi Hendrix, getting wild on the mic. Check one, check two. I'm like butter. That's right. They call me a cookie cutter.
Who calls you a cookie cutter?
That's my homies in Shaolin. Repping right now. We repping NYC. NYC in full effect, y'all. Like Rex in effect.
Okay.
Hey, there's still Jack time for people to call into this show if they would like, and they could talk to us and about how therapeutic this show really is, because it is therapeutic. It's being therapeutic right now, isn't it? Very therapeutic.
You know, I was, in fairness, I was really disappointed yesterday. I really thought the Rangers were going to come back and win that game. They had showed some strong. They got it to 4-2, and they almost scored a third goal early on in the third period.
Yeah, well, if they didn't have Vladislav Namestnikov. Missing an easy tap in, they would have made it 4-3 and probably somehow tied that game against the Capitals, who were supposed to be the best team in this division.
You know, I really thought it was going to happen. The Rangers had a lot of fight in them. You know, I really learned to like the New York Rangers yesterday and their losing effort.
Oh, it's so good.
I learned to appreciate the Rangers, you know, and I'm sorry they got eliminated. But, you know, such is life.
Struck you on a very primitive level the night that they lost.
It's nice that you're so filled with sorrow for me, Rob. Even though we know,
I am deep down. I was really looking
like
forward
all those...
to an exciting Rangers playoff run. You know. I think the tri-state area really needs the Rangers to, you know, go get them, champ, you know, and, you know, bleed blue and all that stuff and, you know.
I know that there was a celebration going on a board that I used to post on. They had the countdown with the Lundqvist arrows poking the bear at Henrik Lundqvist because he's not Martin Brodeur. Nobody is Martin Brodeur, because Martin Brodeur is the greatest goaltender of all time, as you know.
You know, you can
say that
cynically and sarcastically a thousand different ways. But at the end of the day, technically, he is the greatest goaltender of all time. So, you know.
I think I've always been of the opinion that Dominik Hasek was the best goalie I ever saw, and Brodeur would be second best. That's fair.
You know, I'm not going to argue that. I mean, it's pulling hairs, but, you know, I'm going to pick Marty, but.
Well, Brodeur,
you know,
has
I can understand the argument.
Brodeur has the longevity. He played with one franchise. He won 3 Stanley Cups. What he wound up with, 4 Vezinas. So
yes,
you could go. He's got the records with the wins and the games played and the minutes played and the shutouts. So if you want to go by those records and longevity, then Martin Brodeur is your guy. You want to go with goaltending position as well. Brodeur also did that. You want to go with awkward stuff and awkward saves and crazy, chaotic
saves on teams that were not that great, the Sabres, and dominant and hard trophies, MVPs, and Vezinas, and like six Vezinas, go with Hasek. I mean, it really, or maybe you want to go with Patrick Roy because he played in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s and won cups in each era. So, I mean, you could go either way.
Who would you go with if you wanted to go with a goalie that changed the position by wearing pads the size of the Statue of Liberty? Who would you go with then?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it just seems too fitting. It seems too perfect not to say it. I think I'm going to go with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That would be the Conn Smythe winner of the 2003 Stanley Cup Finals, Jean Ziggy Zagier.
I don't believe that's what John meant. He actually was alluding to the fact that Henrik Lundqvist wore pads the size of the Statue of Liberty. With the Statue of Liberty on his pad.
Oh, but when I think about padding and stuff, I think of Zagier. And I think of how upset New Jersey Devil fans were, even though they won on home ice. And then there was a beautiful display, by a classy Canadian athlete wearing number 30, who cheered the fans up and told the fans, "We won the Stanley Cup," and raised his hands as if he was ready to lift the cup. And the fans, who were so bitter, cheered and realized, well, we got the Stanley Cup anyway. Who cares about a Conn Smythe? So, really.
Wow. You've been waiting a long time to bust that out, huh?
Oh,
that
I
was
have.
Like 14 years ago. Let it go.
I wanted to prove to you that Martin Brodeur is better than his own fans. And he proved it that night, that special night. A night that blogger has saw got to go to.
Derek, you do realize Marty is retired, though, right? I mean,
are you sure about that? Because are you sure he's retired? I mean, I could have sworn I saw him at a devil ceremony with Patrick Elias, and he looked like he was ready to activate himself. And I'm starting to think that he really did reactivate himself, and maybe he's the player that he's the player that's really Jake Allen right now, because the Blues are winning hockey games. Jake Allen sucks. Maybe that's really Brodeur in that net for the Blues.
Derek's really taking this elimination day well. I think that's the only conclusion.
He really is. He's really just fixated on Brodeur right now. It's uncanny.
Look, Marty's better. Marty's better in the chant that was the chant. Yeah, it's the chant that continues.
I mean, it's kind of true.
Marty's better. Marty's better. You know who else is better? You know who else
Marty.
Is better, JPG?
Marty's better.
Clayton and Kershaw's better. I want you to say it just once.
Clayton Kershaw's better than who?
Well, you know who. Clayton's better.
I mean, I think there's a pretty big difference between, like, winning a Stanley Cup where you face all of the shots on goal every game and pitching one game against a really shitty wild card team to win a fraudulent World Series. I'm just going to say, I think they're a little different.
You know what? I just like to see Clayton Kershaw pitch or not pitch a shitty game and prove that he's the best.
I want to see Clayton Kershaw get to face a cupcake Royals lineup in a Game 7 when his team won, like, 85 games. That's what I want to see.
I want you to find me one other person other than yourself who has that opinion of Clayton Kershaw and wouldn't take him on their team. Just one person.
Just remember, Clayton Kershaw is better than Dollar Max. So don't go there.
That's splitting hairs. Kershaw is probably, when he's healthy, the best pitcher in baseball.
He is the best pitcher in baseball.
I love how, like, a guy that can't even finish in the top five for Cy Young is someone we're supposed to believe is better than Clayton Kershaw.
Well, when he becomes a New York Yankee, and the Yankees win the World Series and he wins the World Series MVP, just like he did before with the San Francisco Giants, we'll see what you have to say after
God.
That happens.
Is this your new pipe dream?
Oh, it is.
There is no,
it's absolutely my
no,
dream.
No, Madison is not going to the Yankees, no.
Why would the Yankees do that? They have Severino, who you tell us is like the greatest.
According to Madison Miller's sources, she has Madison Bumgarner getting traded to the New York Yankees in July.
Who is this, another Twitter horror or something?
A person that has a podcast that lives in New Jersey who doesn't like the Devils, unfortunately. Like
oh,
to root for the Rangers,
like
Giants, and Knicks.
She made a prediction. Yeah, Rob, what does this have to do with anything, you might ask? Oh, it has
she
nothing to do with
She made a prediction. She made a prediction that the Yankees will trade for Madison Bumgarner, and that would be a good move for the Yankees.
I'm sorry to disappoint with the, I'm sure the very connected Madison Miller, whoever that is.
Rob, do you want to hear what we'd be giving up in this trade?
Oh, please.
Oh, it's priceless.
Please. Humor me.
JPG will love this. New York Yankees are trading Clint Frazier.
Okay.
Miguel Andujar.
Okay.
Jacoby Ellsbury is a throw-in.
Mm-hmm.
And two other, like, good prospects. They're trading, like, five players to get Madison Bumgarner on the roster.
Can you, Derek Felix, support this trade?
No. This trade is just a proposal. I think it would be a lot to give up, to be honest. So, but I could see Madison Bumgarner getting traded. I can see that happening. So.
Yeah. Can you see it because Madison Miller told you, or
no.
Can you absolutely see
Do you really want me to go here? I've actually envisioned Madison Bumgarner coming to the Yankees.
You brought it up. So.
I've envisioned Madison Bumgarner getting traded to the Yankees if they need an extra starter. I could see it happening. That's all. Which means that Chance Adams will probably get traded also in the deal.
I think if the Yankees end up trading for a starting pitcher, it's probably not going to be Bumgarner. It's probably going to be Fulmer.
Oh, from the Tigers? Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to get traded. Everybody knows he's going to trade it.
So I'm going to go with the guy who's more likely to get traded than theories by Miss Miller from a blog. AKA doesn't like the Devils. But what that has to do with baseball,
Madison
I'm not
Miller's
sure.
Wait, from New Jersey?
Yes.
She doesn't like the Devils.
She doesn't like the Devils, and she's from New Jersey. But she says Madison Bumgarner is going to be traded to the Yankees.
Man, who the hell is this bitch?
There it is. You know, that brings me to our next topic, a topic that I didn't want to talk about, but a topic
Madison
that we have
Miller?
To discuss. No, Greg Bird undergoing ankle surgery for another injury that's going to keep him out 2 months, and he probably won't back until, I don't know, July? I have no idea when he'll be back. And the question is, will Greg Bird ever see the light of day, or is he just going to be destined to be another Nick Johnson? Will we ever see Greg Bird at first base putting up the numbers that we think he could put up?
I'm just going to say I don't think Greg Bird is that good, or he's going to put up numbers.
Yeah.
So,
see, I'm going to disagree
with
you on
that. Hey, you're more than welcome to disagree with me on that.
I believe that a healthy Greg Bird would hit 30 home runs and knock in 100 runs in that lineup. That's what I believe.
So you haven't been one of the best players in baseball based off what?
because he's got the perfect stroke, and I think he would hit for a higher average than some of the other hitters that they have in the lineup.
You think every Yankee prospect or quasi prospect has the perfect stroke? Come on.
No, I'm telling you, I've watched this guy, and I think he's got that kind of potential. But
we've all
injury,
watched him. I don't see
this.
This
injury could be the one that breaks the camel's back. So
I hope for the Yankees' sake that there are teams across Major League Baseball who think like you do and we can get a return for him.
All right, here's a question for you, Mr. Robert Davis. Who exactly is your Yankee first baseman if it's not Greg Bird?
Oh.
First base is not some hard position to fill. Who cares?
What do you mean? You have to have a first baseman that could hit for some power and not get some runs. I mean, Tyler Austin and Neil Walker can fill in for now.
Here's the thing. Okay, you want a Yankees first baseman? Aaron Judge.
Yeah, Aaron Judge
is not going to be a first baseman. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Because Aaron Judge is a much better right fielder than Giancarlo Stanton could ever dream to be. That's why.
They're both on your team. It's not a competition, Derek, okay?
No, I'm just saying. Aaron Judge can field his position.
Derek, this is also a team who moved A-Rod to third base when he was still a better shortstop than Jeter.
Look, if the New York Yankees want to move people around, I don't know what they'll do. I haven't really figured it out. But Greg Bird is 25 years old.
I think rather than having Judge and Stanton split time at DH, move Judge to first base.
Greg Bird is 25. They're not going to trade him. He's going to work hard and come back and have a good second.
As much as you love these prospects, they're not going to keep all of them. Eventually, they are going to trade some of them.
They need another left-handed bat, and Greg Bird, a healthy Greg Bird, could be a really important guy to have in between the Judge
and
Giancarlo.
And he hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy, so why keep him?
He doesn't have enough value to trade. You're not going to trade him. That's for damn sure. You can't. I mean, you may as well ride it out and see what you have when he comes back.
Until he comes back, until he's healthy, and he can prove he could play to the level that you believe he can, I think their best option is to have Judge play first base.
Aaron Judge is not a first baseman. I'm sorry. I just can't go along with that. I think Giancarlo Stanton could grab the glove and become a future first baseman. But that's just my feeling and my philosophy on it. But the lineup should still be very good. You have Didi Gregorius. I think Didi will bat between those two guys. Didi will bat third. And cleanup will be
Giancarlo
with Sanchez behind him. So that's what I would say.
Feasible.
Well, look, I mean, their lineup's still going to be excellent. Their lineup will still be excellent. So, with that the case, I mean, we should still see an excellent lineup. But I would be most excited to see what happens when Bird comes back. So, I mean, I'm estimating, you know, they say 2 months. I'll put the estimation at maybe late June, early July, beginning of July. That makes more sense. You want him to make sure he's rehabbed perfectly. They have had the surgery. They're not taking any chances. And get him back for July. So you could have him for July, August, September, which is when you want him to be back. So that's how I would do it. That's how I would do it right now. This is the Hard Hits Network. It is the Hard Hits Sports Podcast, a Monday evening edition. It's Tuesday, right? Tuesday. Excuse me. In New York City, this is Derek Felix, your host, joined by Rob Davis in Jersey, in Clifton, and JPG in Las Vegas. And it is overtime, actually. So a little overtime. What do you think the overtime topic's going to be, gentlemen?
Surprise us.
Well, it's going to be about a player that is probably the most polarizing player that I could think of. A guy by the name of Odell Beckham Jr. So that's going to be the overtime session. What I'll first do is say that I don't think Odell Beckham's going anywhere. And I think that Patrick Leonard or Pat Leonard or whatever he calls himself, or Mike Lupica Jr., should just shoot himself or jump off a cliff outside the Daily News office and jump to his death, because he's just making up rumors, because he's just a complete piece of crap, just like that rag and most of the reporters in it. So I don't think that Beckham's going to go anywhere.
Officially, the Rams did offer the Giants the 23rd overall pick for Odell Beckham.
And then officially, David Gettleman laughed and crowed about it and cried over a vodka or gin and tonic when he
came
to offer.
Why would you pick for a wide receiver? I don't understand this.
What do you mean? This is not just any wide receiver. It's Odell Beckham Jr.
You're right.
OBJ.
It's not just any wide receiver. It's an undersized wide receiver who's been injured a bunch.
What? Oh, my God. You are absolutely out of your mind.
You know what, Derek? Derek, I will offer the Giants one third-round pick for Odell Beckham.
Well, I'll see your third-round pick, and I'll send you a bucket of cheese doodles and a Le Chatel red wine and a vodka tonic for yourselves. All right? That's what I'll send you in return, since you think you're giving up a third-round pick for him. There is one thing I haven't focused on, JPG.
The third-round pick
do you think
you're going to get for Odell Beckham?
No. No. Last year, the Chicago Bears made a move.
Oh, here we go.
They made a move. Yes, they did.
Did they make a move? Tell us about how they made a move.
They made a move, and they traded up to select Mitch Trubisky, their starting quarterback.
You really waited a long time to get this in, Derek. I'm proud of you.
Well, his real name, by the way, is Mitchell. Mitchell David. Oh, my God. Mitchell David.
What interesting breaking news.
Instead of Brian David, it's Mitchell David. Mitchell David.
I'm out of material, so I'm going back to
Derek is really salty today. It's just oozing. It's oozing salt. Love it.
Come on.
It's oozing salt right now.
Well,
not good to be salty.
I think that Mitchell David Trubisky has the potential to be an all-pro quarterback. So I think it was a good move. I think it was a good move. What I want to know from JPG is, there's been all this draft talk, right? So I was thinking about something. Where do the Chicago Bears pick in this year's draft? Do they have a first-round pick?
The Chicago Bears have the 69th overall pick.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, God. God, that's really disappointing. I was really looking forward to the Bears making their first-round pick. I'm very upset about this. I don't know how I'm going to take it.
You know what? I think you should probably take, five deep breaths and then take some Advil, like Bjorn would.
I might need to be consoled right now. I'm very upset about this. The Bears
pick eighth overall. They pick eighth overall. Yes.
That makes me feel a lot better. Okay. Good.
I like how he just believed when I said some random crap.
You know what? I haven't heard anybody mention the Chicago Bears, so I actually wasn't even sure they had a first-round pick. So.
I haven't heard anybody. Oh, and you have your pulse on what, quote, everybody, unquote, is talking about?
Here's the thing, because we know, because I'm not going to mention it because I already blocked the subject matter, you know, earlier yesterday.
We're doing
Derek
a show right now.
Derek has been fascinated by another team in the NFL draft. So we're eventually, I'm sure, going to get there, but I'm not going to mention it.
I don't know what you mean. I'm very confused.
I don't either. I have no idea.
You know what?
I mean.
I'm going to go and make a prediction. I will actually predict who the Chicago. I will predict who the Chicago Bears will draft. So I've decided, and I think it would be a perfect fit for them, especially to give Mitchell David that weapon that he needs. They will draft out of the University of Alabama, Crimson Tide, Roll Tide, wide receiver Calvin Ridley with that pick. So that is my prediction.
I'm
going to go and say that.
I'm racist with your prediction.
Well, you know, it really didn't take a lot of thought. You know, it just makes a lot of sense to me. Calvin Ridley is the best receiver in this draft. And that is the perfect kind of weapon that the Bears can use. And I think the Bears should do it. And they might even be able to move down. But if you can get that guy, you put him in your lineup with your quarterback. I think you have a pretty decent running back, so I think you have to be pretty excited, because that's exactly what I would do if I was Chicago Bears. Unless they decide to go for a pass rusher, that would be the other move, or offensive lineman. So those are the choices.
Wow. Those are the choices, huh?
What do you call V, JPG? What would you call V?
What's that?
What are you, Kobe?
What are you, Kobe?
What do you want the Bears to do?
What are
you wanting the Bears to do? Kobe.
What do you
means covet? Covet, yeah. What do you covet?
Covet.
Kobe, covet.
Why do you keep saying Kobe?
Because that's how I say it. I've heard it pronounced that way. What do you want to possess? What are you going to possess in this draft?
You know what I want to possess? I want to possess the tears of saltiness from Derek Felix.
Well, I'm very, very excited. I'm very excited about actually being a free agent for the NHL playoffs. It's an exciting time for me. Anybody who listens to the show or just doesn't have anything to do and wants to blow off their brains, I say that half kiddingly. Well, whoever your team is, out of the 16 teams that make the playoffs, you can recruit me. Recruit me.
I like how he just kept saying Kobe over and over again. So
hit me up. Hit me up on the Twitter at New York Puck and give me. Give
Stop
me
doing
your best
fake
ghetto offer.
Accent, Derek.
Give me your best offer right now, because right now I'm a free agent. I'm a free agent.
Well, let's see. Is there any team out there where Derek has over 40,000 posts on their website that he could possibly jump on their bandwagon?
So I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what this
yes.
person is talking
yes,
about.
If only this existed.
I have no idea what this person's talking about, but I do know that he's a little bit cuckoo and has been influenced by odd powers, including a Buffalo Bills / Toronto Maple Leafs / Sabres aggravated fan that was located somewhere in the vicinity of South California, Southern California, to be exact. So I have no idea what he's talking about. And for
I think it's time, you know, you're going to make a return to said website, you know, to let them know how you truly feel about Rangers Elimination Day.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them how I feel. I'm going to tell them to all go F themselves because they're a bunch of frauds. Fraudulent fans unlike Rob Davis and like Chris Mossell, so, and Hassan. So, No, but in all seriousness, I do support the New Jersey Devils and their quest to make their first postseason since 2012. So we're hoping we're on the Keith Kincaid bandwagon, on Taylor Hart Hall bandwagon right now, hoping for Boyle Strong and Grabs to get in playoffs. So
Keith three or more Kincaid.
Beats the heck out of Corey, I can't win a game, Schneider.
Really? No comment.
I'm sorry, man. I know. I'm a very tough guy. I am a very tough guy. I understand how you feel. I mean, it's hard. It is hard right now. So, are you excited? Oh, that's right. There's an NFL draft coming up. It's only another, like 3,000 days away. So, just to let you know. So, I just want people to know that.
March, the month that won't end.
So are we going to get another Nor'easter? That's what I want to know. Are we going to get, like, Thunderstow again? I mean, before this month gives out?
I think it's supposed to snow next week.
It snows next week. I'm taking a flight to Dallas, Texas, and reopening the case that I've wanted to reopen.
God. Still.
Why not? I can give you a lot of reasons why not,
but I get the feeling I'm not going to listen to.
I'm actually interested in another case that I'm thinking about opening up. So I've been in negotiations with my lawyer, Detective Holiday, and we're still working out the details. So I won't make any reveals until the details are finalized. So that's a little Hard Hits exclusive right there from Derek Fox Felix here at 11:58 in the evening on the Eastern time zone here of New York City on the Rotten Coast where it's deer country. So, I mean, did I tell you that I saw two deer and we actually had a steering contest? It was over the weekend.
No, you didn't tell us this.
Oh boy, it was really exciting. It was an exciting moment. So I went to my friend, his neck turned two, it was just nephew turned 2 years old, so they had a birthday party, right? So I was coming back, and before I stopped in to celebrate with them, I actually saw some deer along the edge of, the neighborhood by the woods. And these two deer were staring right at me as I was taking a piss. So we were having, a staring contest. It was really fascinating, actually. It's like we were looking at each other. There was about 10, there was about maybe 10 feet away, I'd say, maybe 10 feet, 10, 15 feet, I'd say. And eventually, as I got to move and I was looking at them, one of the deer did a hop in the other direction. So, and then when we left for Basement A location later that evening, before I took my dad out for his birthday, and we did the whole hibachi thing. When I finally came back down there, there was about 9 deer, out in the same vicinity, just out celebrating. It was like a family. It was a deer celebration. So it was a pretty exciting moment right there, as I try to communicate with deer again. Something that always fascinates me. JPG, have you ever met a deer?
Have I ever met a deer? I've petted a deer.
You have? You have?
I have.
When was this?
There's a famous park in Japan that's full of them.
So you actually petted a deer?
I did, a lot of them.
Oh, boy. You weren't worried about the ticks or whatever? Or...
No, I didn't get ticks.
I'm kidding. All right, so you are far. You were far east, so this is very fascinating.
Right.
Hey, now, did you have deer back home in your small town?
Yes, we did have them. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, we've got so many deer now. I'm surprised the deer aren't taking over the traffic stops. I've seen them everywhere. So, how about you, Rob?
Are you a fan of the deer?
No, not a fan of deer.
Surprise, surprise.
Actually, I like deer. I like deer. Venison is really good. Venison chili, venison stew, venison hamburgers, venison steak. It's good food.
So you're a fan of the cow. I think that's what we're trying to say. Okay. Well, I'm gonna let you in on a little fact I just discovered. There's been a discovery here at 12:01 a.m. here. That'll be 9:01 cater time. Did you know there's a cow appreciation day?
No.
Did you gentlemen know? All right. So cow appreciation day. Wow, man, it's coming fast and furious. We are actually we're actually closing in. In less than 4 months away. Cow Appreciation Day is going to be observed on Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. All right. So and it's observed on the second Friday of July from 2005 until 2014, Cow Appreciation Day. So I want you guys to put that on your checklist for the summer. That was the Cow Appreciation Day. I know JPG will be celebrating with a big cow. So it's in a big bottle of milk, right? To wash it down. Get ready. You know, at Hard Hits, you know, we try to break these stories. We keep it fun for everybody. So if you're a cow fan, hey, I mean, you got to be excited. But if you're a vegetarian, you might want to go to a land of tomatoes and peppers and onions and mushrooms. Stay away from
a
the
land
people
of
celebrating
tomatoes.
Cow Day. I love tomatoes, actually. That's my favorite fruit. Well, it's really a vegetable, but it's a fruit. I don't know. We used to grow the tomatoes out here at the Felix household in the backyard.
Mm.
Yeah, we used to have a like, garden. Actually, we did strawberries. Mm. We did zucchini. We did tomatoes. So, JPG will be happy to know that Mother Flex actually still grows the tomatoes and basil at her backyard premise. So, if you're planning on making a summer trip, you could actually be greeted by a garden. If you're planning to visit the Satan of Zile location, if you want to take your random jet and land it in our dump, that is. I don't know. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but just throwing that one out there. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mr. Robert. Mr. Robert?
What's that? What's up?
Are you ready to make some baseball predictions, son?
Not quite yet. I'm just studying the teams now, so
you can't really go there yet.
Yeah, can't really go there yet. I'm not ready for predictions.
Well, I got good news for you. We're gonna have another show tomorrow. So I can still set up a draft for our league. Do you guys wanna do a draft? I know JPG will participate. He'll make as many moves as JNF did when he used to be in Yahoo Leagues. JNF would not do anything. He wouldn't do anything. He was afraid to use the Yahoo mobile thing. But now that he's in basketball, it's okay. He's JNF.
He still won't use Facebook, though. God forbid.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean. So who will Derek Felix? Which hockey team will he adopt for the NHL playoffs? That's the question. There are 16 choices. You know, it could be like 16 scoops of ice cream. Which one will he choose? I mean, who's it going to be?
I choose you, Derek Felix.
Okay, Derek, before you do that, I'm just saying you can't choose the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
I wasn't going to choose them, actually. Even though I like what they've been able to accomplish, and congratulations to them on making the postseason an embarrassing half the NHL by doing it in their first season.
but I'm not choosing them because I know Rob Davis has reserved them or JPG might reserve them in case he decides to jump on.
Yep, I'm reserving them.
Are you going to go to a playoff game? That is the question.
No, but I'm reserving the right to.
You are reserving the right to?
Yeah, so you can.
Are you also reserving the right to finally set foot in a casino and roll some dice, shoot some dice?
I've been in various casinos before.
I'm kidding. You going to be a high roller, man? Finally go for it?
I am
go
a high roller.
Well, what is your game? What is your game, son?
My game is craps.
Craps? So do you ride it? Do you let it ride high?
I let it ride huh? so high to the sky.
So high as the sky because it's flying. We're going to all fucking die. I wonder why.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
That was kind of morbid.
I listen to Jim Morrison, man. I mean, I share a birthday with him, so that's where I get it from. So, yeah, and I look up to Jim Morrison. So if you want to know where it's coming from, there it is.
You know,
boom.
I'm just looking forward to the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs and all that. So
wait a second. There's an NBA playoffs.
Of course. You'll be glued to your seat. Who are you kidding?
I'm a New York Knickerbockers fan. I don't know what the playoffs are.
You're more of a, I want to see James Harden lose kind of guy than a Knicks fan.
James Harden. Who cares about James Harden? I mean, really?
Dirk knew all about the NBA playoffs when he was deluding himself into thinking that Boston had a chance.
Pretty much.
Been to Boston. It's pretty nice. Nice place.
Yeah, the team's not very nice, though.
I don't know what you mean by that, but... They
got the guy they wanted, and he's going to miss the playoffs. I mean, what's up with that? Crying, he can't tough it out.
If you follow his career.
I love how fascinated JPG is over this. You know, it seems like he's been doing spending more time on this than on anything else. Very fascinating.
Well, in fairness, for a guy you said should have been the NBA Finals MVP a few years ago to outright miss, two of the last two playoffs he's been in? You know? Mm. How much of a leader can he possibly be?
He's a leader. He's a leader, man. You just got to follow him.
A leader in what? The same playoffs? I mean, like, what kind of leaders?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Look, I mean, not everybody could be as tough as CPD. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's a little tough to hear that, but you know,
he
CPD,
misses the playoffs
not everybody...
as often as Cryney, so.
CPD?
Cryney Irving.
What is your fascination with knees? That's what I want to know. It seems like it's a recurring thing for you. There's knee rolls, there's PD, which I came up with. Now you have cry knee Irving. I mean, you want to
knee
tell
Wade.
Me Wade?
Don't forget
knee
Wade.
Wade. I mean, it's not as good as LeCramp or LeFraud, but I mean, but I have to give you credit. You've come up with some interesting names around the knee.
I love how Derek still won't let go of something that happened like what is it now 3-4 years ago in one game.
look, cramp was a very exciting moment for me.
I'm sure it was the culmination of a lot of wonderful things for you.
It was.
He was justified in all his wrong feelings about LeBron because of one game.
Just remember, NYG Top Gun 10. Is on two Bill Strahive and has made two posts.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
I'm not familiar with that website or what a two Bill Strahive is. So, that conversation is blocked as far as I'm concerned. So, I don't know what that means.
Whoa, wait a second. there is a topic called the Mandela effect on here, man. I might have to get in
on
it. Check this shit out.
This bullshit Mandela effect.
Hey, it's a 7-page thread, man. I mean, hey, Bills fans are smart.
Derek,
they know their shit.
Dumb conspiracy theories.
Please, please, please don't get Derek started on the Mandela effect.
Oh my
end.
God! You know what? I just found yeah. one that's perfect. Like, it used to be Jiffy, and now it's Jif for peanut butter. I mean, that's a perfect one right there. I mean, that's a perfect example of them changing the script. It's just unbelievable what they'll do. They'll do it to anything. You want me to switch the topic?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Change the topic. Bring something else up so I don't get started on conspiracy theories. I can't believe I actually found that one there, but go ahead. The floor is yours.
I don't know what to say. You can go back to conspiracy theories.
No, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I will not do it. I won't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it because you don't want me to go there. I'll start coming up with different philosophies.
Let's talk about how the Knicks refuse to tank and are playing hard down the stretch.
We have to.
Something there. Support.
Which you, I'm sure you fully support. You have to support it. I know you don't like to see your teams tank games, and you have to be very happy with how the Knicks have been playing basketball as of lately.
Well, look, you know, not everybody can do what the Atlanta Hawks did the other day, deciding not to play their starting point guard, or what the Chicago Bulls do routinely, where they just don't bring three players and. What
Wait,
Memphis the Grizzlies
were,
do?
The Bulls model franchise, Derek.
Didn't you end up getting into a championship in 3 years? I mean, you know,
I did.
Maybe that's.
I think that they're going in the right direction. So, I mean, I'm not gonna.
I don't know. If I'm looking at potential championship teams down the road, you know, I'm going with a team who's really just trying hard now and are showing players like, hey, even though we're out of it, we're really just trying to improve our hustle, our coordination, you know, our ability to shoot, our coaching, you know, every aspect of team-oriented play that you want to see as a fan or a player. You know, maybe a free agent go, I want to play for the Knicks because they're really trying hard. And I think, you know, that's very commendable. And honestly, I clap for the Knicks in that regard. You know, I'm very happy for you as a Knicks fan, as I'm sure you are as well.
Oh, I'm very excited. Yeah. So,
I mean, the Knicks, when you think about it, right, they're the pride of Madison Square Garden. I mean, you know, blue and white and orange, that's, you know, go Knicks, you know.
I don't know how to respond to that right now.
Foundation together.
If you're trying to get me to become speechless, because I don't know how to respond to this.
When I think of Madison Square Garden, I really just think of the New York Knicks and, you know, their propensity to play winning basketball.
Propensity to play winning basketball? What by winning basketball, what exactly do you mean?
They've been winning lately. Is that not winning basketball? You know, they're winning games. You know, they're trying hard. It's really what you want as a fan, you know.
That's because they have Trey Burke. I mean, Trey Burke is a winning basketball player. So, I mean, it helps to have a guy that actually knows how to play.
And I'm telling you, by next year, the Knicks will be in the playoffs.
I mean, I know JPG's a big fan of him. Aren't you?
Of who?
Of Trey Burke.
Oh, Trey Burke is amazing.
I'm glad that you finally came to your senses.
Yeah, I did. I agree. Trey Burke is the best ever.
He is the best ever. It's nice to see you finally acknowledging it. Mr. Giadoria, would you like a little precious stat?
Give me the most precious stat you can think of.
Well, actually, it's one concerning Trey Burke, actually. So,
okay.
Trey Burke's game yesterday. Trey Burke, with his 42 points yesterday or the other night and 12 assists, only the fourth player to do that. Only the fourth player since 1983 or 84 to do that. So,
really?
Yeah, he joined some exclusive company. I just wanted to let you know. Just thought you would like to know about that.
All right. Well, that's
look, I just think that there is reason to get excited for Trey Burke. He's been pretty damn good for the New York Knickerbockers.
I'm incredibly excited.
You should be. I'm really glad that you're realizing about Trey Burke's potential. So it's a great thing. It's a good thing to see you finally recognize him. You better recognize, fool. You better recognize.
Okay.
Trey Burke, man. Trey Burke. All right, so here it is. He became the fourth Knicks player in the last 50 seasons with at least 40 points and 10 assists. Would you like to name the other three? Would you like to take a shot?
Not really.
The last, well, think explosive guards or players that could score 40 and get at least 10 assists in a game. You should be able to get one right away. I can think of one that you should get. Rob should get it. Take a guess. There's a player that you've been fascinated with who you said did not have a good career, but he actually had an all-star worthy career and is one of those players that did it. Rob, are we taking a stab? Take a stab. I love how the silence has come. Nobody knows who it is. I can give you the other ones. Do you like to know the other ones?
No.
Well, Clyde Frazier would be one. Okay. And the other one would be Bernard King. I gave you two obvious ones. There was another player, an all-star player, who we had, who the Knicks traded for, that did it back in the 2000s. Are you really going to be this dense, or are you going to get it?
I don't know.
Continue to be in a state of denial. Who else do you think could get 40 points in a game and get 10 assists?
Can't
that
you
plays
just tell
point
me?
Guard. Ah, oh, it's too obvious. Lincoln High School.
Oh,
Rolling
God.
Island.
Marbury.
He did it. Yeah, he did it. Yeah. He was
that
one
was
of the
that
four.
Was a lot of hard work just for that.
March 29th, 2005, yeah. He was actually the last player to do it before Trey Burke actually joined the company. Starbury did it almost 20 years to the day of Bernard King. Marbury was March 29th, 2005, JPJ. Bernard King was March 9th, 1985. So 20 years and 20 days. And this is interesting. March is the month when this happens. Walt Frazier, almost 8 years earlier, March 31st, 1977, was the first Knick to do it. And you could add Trey Burke to the history books. So with another March theme. So it's a March thing. March 27th.
Wonderful.
March. Yeah, actually March 26th. So what would have been my parents' anniversary? God, if they had stayed together, it would have been their
36th. No, it would have been their 46th anniversary, I guess, right? Yeah. Oh, crap. They got married in 1972 on March 26th. So,
pretty hard to believe. Yeah. My mom sent me a picture the other day, actually.
Yeah.
A picture of them 46 years ago on March 26th, their wedding day.
Nice.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's pretty cool. I mean, they may not be together anymore, but they were together for a long time, so it's nice. It's definitely something to behold, you know. Yeah. Thank you to Rob Davis, obviously. Rob did a good job. Rob, retirement Rob, has become a fixture so far in this reunion of sorts. So are we going to make any bold baseball predictions before the show goes kaput at 12:30? Pick any player, JPG, player that you think will be a breakout star this year. Any
Kyle
player?
Schwarber.
Oh boy, we're both thinking about the same guy.
There you go.
All right. You know what? Since you picked him, I have to pick somebody else. My original pick is hurt, so it's not going to happen. That was Kyle Babe Schwarber. And my other pick would have been Greg Bird, but that's not going to happen now. So my breakout guy, I can't even say he's a breakout guy anymore because he kind of broke out last year and I think he will be in contention for the MVP this year. I'm talking about Byron Buxton of the Twins. So I should actually come up with somebody different. All right. So if it's not going to be Byron Buxton, then who will actually be a breakout guy? Of course, Byron Buxton comes out as the breakout guy. Actually, Buxton's actually a perfect choice. He, even though he had a great finish to last year, JPG, Buxton wound up with only 50-something RBIs. So.
Really?
So even though he like finished unbelievably, Byron Buxton would be a good candidate for this title actually. So I could go Byron Buxton, or I could just go with Rafael Devers from the Red Sox because that would be
Red
a good
Sox.
Candidate. Well, Rafael Devers looks like he's going to be a I could go Rafael Devers. I could go Andrew Benintendi. Those would be two real good choices. There's a couple players on the Padres that could be breakout candidates. They have a couple of guys in their outfield that I could think of. Margot would be one. Margot. And the other one, if I could just think names right now from the San Diego Padres, a team that could be going in the right direction finally. So there's two potential candidates there. So it's not Will Myers. Hunter Renfro would be one, and Manuel Margot would be the other. So you could throw out a few different guys who could be the candidates. Could be candidates for this bust out season. Okay. Giannoria.
Mr. Felix.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
You ready for baseball?
So
did
ready.
You know? Did you know that this is the first time, right? First time, I think, since like the '70s that every baseball team, all 30, will be in action on opening day. Opening day is on Thursday. The New York Yankees are playing in Toronto. They're playing the Blue Jay BGs in a 4-game series. Who are the Cubs playing? Who are the Cubs opening up against? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know who the Cubs are opening against?
No, I don't. I don't really care.
Oh, come on. You got to get fired up, man.
Okay.
This is your chance. This is your chance. Matt Chapman is my breakout candidate. He had 14 home runs last year in his rookie year as an Oakland Athletic. I think he'll double that up. So I'm going to go with Matt Chapman as the breakout candidate for the Oakland Athletics, a team that should be on the rise. So they are a team that will be on the rise. Matthew Chapman is one of those guys. Matt Olson hit 24 home runs last year. So that's another guy that you have to watch out for. He hit 24 home runs in his full rookie year, 45 RBIs. And he did that in 189 at-bats. So two guys on the Oakland Athletics. Mr. G, let's make a discovery. Let's see who the Chicago Cubs are opening up against. Because I know that you do care about it, even though you insist that you don't, which is odd for you. Because we do care. We care about who the Cubs open up against. So let's see if we could actually figure out who the Cubs are open. My guess would be the Cardinals. I mean, that's my guess. You guys have the easiest matchup that you can get. Oh, my God. Is this really who you're opening up against? Take a guess who they're opening up against. Who do you think would be the easiest matchup, probably, on paper?
Who? The Pirates?
Worse.
The Mets?
They should be the worst team in baseball, probably. I think they're going to lose 100 games. I've told you this.
Mets?
The Miami Marlins, a team that should not
exist. Wow.
Their opening day pitcher is Jose Urena. So it's Urena against Lester. And my final reveal, Madison Miller has decided to put the hex on one of your pitchers. So I know you're a big fan. You're a big fan of this guy since he came over to the Cubs. But she decided to put a hex. What do you think I'm referring to?
I have no idea.
Before the Block Talk lady cuts us off, because we could make the reveal tomorrow if we do get cut off. And the reveal.
Are you going to tell me?
Well, it's not Brandon Morrow, who I'm obsessed with.
Okay.
Jose Quintana. She thinks Jose Quintana will be the best Cubs starting pitcher. And she has Jose Quintana finishing fifth in the Cy Young. So
there you go. Madison
there
Miller,
you go.
Smarter than I give her credit for.
By the way, she made MVP lists that had at least 11 players on them because of players that she's predicting will get traded, which was interesting. Interesting order. So that's where we're at. All right, we're gonna put a wrap on this show. Because I had to have to. Tomorrow there will be another Hard Hits. It'll be harder and harder than this one. So Mr. Giudoria, I wanna thank you for being part of this show. And I wanna thank Rob Davis. And it's time for us to bid adieu. A lot of fun on this show, and wishing Rob Davis and his Devils the very best as they chase that elusive wild card. And we know the Flyer fans are hoping that they have enough goaltending to get into the playoffs. So, not. All right, that's going to do it for this show. So, thank you to JPG. Thanks for sticking it out. And anybody wants to tune into our podcast, check us out anytime. All right. And follow me on the Twitter at New York Puck. And JPG will be back tomorrow. And thank you for joining us, JPG. And it's time to bid adieu. Everybody have a great night and enjoy your Wednesday. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down.